This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Here we go. Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Mike McCarthy press conference coming up at 3:45. You also going to have Krusty's Corner. Little C-Note coming up at 3:20. We'll talk about the Cowboys news of the evening and so much more. Here's Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. For the first time since 2022, the Carolina Panthers are favored in a game. Now, this happens to be against your Dallas Cowboys, as the Cowboys and Panthers will be playing at noon. Catch the pregame show 9 a.m. with the great Eric Chiafalo and Brian Broaddus. Postgame will go until 6 p.m. with yours truly and the Super Bowl-winning scout, Brian Broaddus. But you've got Carolina right now, boys, two-point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys. Last time they were favored, they were a three-point favorite against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home December 18th, 2022. Now, they did lose that game 24-16, but are we stunned that the Panthers are actually favored here?
No, I think the way Bryce Young has played the last couple of weeks just suggests that, you know, he's kind of figured it out. He's playing with a lot more confidence. I mean, to do what he did against the Chiefs, close to 300 yards, no picks.
Yeah.
You know, almost, and then the game-winning throw the week before or something like that against Tampa.
Tying. Yeah, they should have beat Tampa. They lose late in that game. I mean, they've played three really solid teams, Kansas City, Tampa, and Philly, and they could have easily been 3-0 in those games.
They could have. I mean, if Xavier Leggett doesn't drop a touchdown, they beat the Eagles. Maybe the biggest upset of the entire NFL season. So, yeah, this is a much different Carolina team. And Bryce Young is starting now to show flashes of this is the guy we saw at Alabama that went number one overall. Like, he's got the ability. It's kind of coming together for him now with Dave Canales.
And the only reason why Bryce Young is even playing right now is because I believe Andy Dalton got into a bit of a fender bender.
That's right.
Like a month ago.
Dude, I forgot all about that.
I thought you were about to say Andy Dalton went on a bender, and that's why.
No, well, he's a stand-up gentleman.
That's Jack Del Rio.
No. Yeah.
We love you, Jack.
That's Jackie D. But, yeah, dude, that's the only reason. Like, crap, I guess we got to throw Bryce Young back in the mix here, and now he's leveled up. Like, it's crazy, dude.
Maybe benching him was exactly what he needed. You know, he was able to just kind of take a breather, kind of see things from a different perspective, and now he's out there playing pretty good football. Let's stay within the division. I was getting a kick out of this, so I was watching some college players up in the press box while you guys did the pregame, and I was waiting for the game to kick off. And then I saw this starting to break from WIP, the Whip in Filthy, where Brandon Graham does a weekly players show. And oh my gosh, right on cue. Things are imploding in Philadelphia. Here was Brandon Graham on the Whip talking about the relationship between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. He, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And, I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed, and I understand that because life happens. But we gotta, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business, and that's what we gotta do better as right now, because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things, but we need to be able to talk things out as men. You know what I'm saying? But we need to let personal stuff go and let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff. Most of the time, it's just a conversation that just need to be had. But the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
So
it's good wisdom right there.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. But also the worst possible thing you could have said right now
as a teammate of
these guys. And now you just stoked the fire in a monster
way.
I'm grateful for it. Thank you, Brandon.
Oh, I love that he did this.
I kind of wish that Elliot Shore Parks was on set to like, no, that's not true.
Brandon. Well, Elliot was sharing this. Elliot was out there sharing this and reporting. I mean, as a good reporter should do.
Oh, wow.
But when he hit send tweet, he had that no Sean Marino tear dropping out of his eye.
He did.
He hated to do that.
And then it turned into Donovan McNabb versus T.O. You know, McNabb had a comment about it, and then T.O. immediately quote tweeted and said, well, that's funny because you were the one that had the problem with me. I didn't have a problem with you. I totally agree, though, that they should talk to each other, and maybe we'd have won Super Bowl 39, but I digress. And then T.O. just falls back into the shadows and watches the ticking time bomb go ahead and tick off in Philadelphia. But Brandon Graham's now had to backtrack. He said, quote, I made a mistake, and I assumed that it was something that it wasn't. I just want to win so bad that I don't want to just use the media when we need to talk about something.
I hate when this happens.
We can fix the problem ourselves. I didn't add to it in a good light. So that's my bad.
Do you think, okay.
There's clearly a problem. He now knows he shouldn't have said anything here, and he's probably getting Nick Sirianni, whoever knows who else in the Eagles organization, like, dude.
But he's done, right? He's on IR, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was supposed to
be his last season
with
the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got Zach Martin a little bit. But after the game, you have A.J. Brown complaining about the passing.
Right.
The passing.
And he wasn't doing that, too. Like, a couple weeks before the Ravens game, he was like, it's totally fine. Barkley's a stud. I played with Derrick Henry. We got something special in the backfield. Now, all of a sudden, like, it adds up. What Brandon Graham was saying adds up. Like, something happened here. They got in a fight. They're beefing. And now, post-game, after another loss, or almost a loss, A.J. Brown is vocally voicing his frustration.
Yeah, and this is definitely a team that's leaning on their rushing attack. I mean, they're running, I think it's like 10% over expectation, the amount that they're actually running the football. So, and Jalen Hurts still has the same issues. He doesn't see things very quickly or impressively. He's running into sacks at a big rate. He's scrambling like a beast. His scrambles are awesome, very, very efficient, but he's being sacked at a higher rate than he's used to being sacked at. So you have some Jalen Hurts problems, and I know there's multiple times a game where A.J. Brown feels like he's run. I mean, it's CeeDee Lamb at the end of the game last night, play, and he's like, dude, I'm wide open, and he's visibly frustrated. That's a competitor going like, dude, game's on the line, I'm wide open, I'm your best player, even if I'm triple covered, throw me the damn ball, let alone when I'm wide open. A.J. Brown is running wide open a handful of times a game, and it's a check down pass from Jalen Hurts, and so that's going to frustrate him, especially when it's like, dude, we're not blowing teams out, we should have lost to the Panthers.
Right.
So I get why he's frustrated. And now you have Nick Sirianni also joining WIP saying, I see AJ and Jalen communicating about the game plan, eating lunch together every single day, praying with each other before the game.
What?
Based off of what happened the last couple of days. He says, based off of what happened the last couple of days, oh man, there's a little 2023 vibes. No, I see a lot of 2022 vibes.
Oh,
that's when they lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So now you have Sirianni having to come out and explain the cafeteria lunch setup.
Yeah.
To explain away the Brandon Graham.
If I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I don't care the good stuff Sirianni's doing. He's obviously doing some stuff right. You know, they're going to be in position to make a run at the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. But I got enough of this. You know, this is just two wheels off. It's dysfunctional in a way that whatever he's doing well doesn't make up for.
Toxic Tuesday, and I'm here for it. Okay, from that receiver, you got something? Did you have something to add?
No, I just think this is perfect. This is what we were imagining with the Eagles. This thing, there's going to be an implosion at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe Hurts gets banged up. Maybe it's Saquon Barkley. But we knew the fabric of this thing was not quite there. And Jalen Hurts isn't the quarterback to make an A.J. Brown happy all the time. He's just simply not. He's not that guy.
It's always too good to be true. Or are we going to get the fans audio of Jalen?
Yes, we will. Football's finest.
Okay, I can't wait for that. That's a good tease right there.
Men, women, and children are bleep canning Jalen Hurts on the way out of Lincoln Financial on Sunday.
It's not the way to treat a Texas kid like that. Come on, filthy. All right, Deebo Samuel. He's coming off his fourth consecutive game where he had fewer than 25 yards of receiving and fewer than 35 scrimmage yards. He's got 200-yard games in 12 games this year, and there's suggestions that he's struggling. He took to social media on Twitter. He said, quote, not struggling at all, just not getting the ball. Then he added the shrug emoji. Since deleted the tweet. Well, why did he maybe delete the tweet? He got community noted.
Uh-oh.
And the app said he leads the team in drops. He is struggling on the community notes, which is fantastic. And it's true. He is. He's on pace for career lows in receptions per game, targets per game. And this might have been something that Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch saw. I mean, there were all the rumors that he was going to be traded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they would have preferred to trade Debo and said it was Brandon Ayuk because of the contract stuff. They got all the headlines. But maybe they saw, look, 28 years old. He's a guy that...
He's a battering ram. You can't hold up playing the way he does.
Physically, the way the style... Like, maybe he would just naturally digress a little bit here. But so far this season, out of anybody in San Francisco, Debo's the one whose numbers are really, really down.
I love community notes so much. That's hilarious, dude.
Like, dude, you lead the team in drops. You are struggling, okay?
It's the first time I've ever seen an NFL player get dunked on.
Yeah, they should have been looking at him more like a running back. You know, I guess he would have been the guy to trade, you know, instead of Ayuk. I think maybe a Belichick or maybe a better, you know, guy who is taking account of that. But the way that he plays football just, you know, shouldn't hold up well.
It's brutal the way that he plays. This was sad. The story's been developing as we've been doing the show, but apparently Joe Burrow's home last night was burglarized. And a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, who boasts nearly 8 million followers on the Tiki Talkies, reported the burglary at Joe Burrow's Ohio home to the cops. Now, her mom's the one that actually called in the break-in. And I guess her mom is Diane. She tells the dispatch that, you know, she's wondering what she should do. My daughter Olivia is there. Should she be hiding? Should she be going outside?
Get in the Batmobile, honey.
Someone broke into my house. It's likely completely messed up. I guess she noticed a broken window. Everything seems to be okay. But again, this is another story that we've heard about these athletes' homes just being broken into. Because people know, like, well, he's on the road. He's probably not home. But, I mean, that's very, very scary deal for Joe Burrow.
These thieves are, they're dialed. They know when the athlete is on the road for a game. They know exactly where they're, when they're not going to be home. And so they're vulnerable right there. And the NFL, I mean, this is shortly after the NFL's come out and, like, warned all the players, like, hey, you need to make sure you're dialed when it comes to the home security stuff.
Would you guys pay for an armed guard at the house if it was like $1 million a year and you had that kind of salary?
I honestly, yes, I think I would for sure. I mean, and Joe Burrow, I mean, he knew he had his girlfriend there or whatever. Generally, he's a single dude, so I don't know how often he has, but especially if you have wife and kids sitting at home, there's no doubt, dude, you take every precaution necessary.
Yeah, if you're making that type of money, I mean, what?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Why not? Post game, Joe Burrow was talking about T. Higgins, and you know, there's Jamar Chase, who's a free agent in 2 years, but they have tried to get ahead of those contract talks. Obviously, Jamar wants to get paid. T. Higgins is a free agent this year. So Joe Burrow said after the win over the Cowboys, "We don't know, but those discussions are ongoing. I'm confident that I think we're going to be able to do what it takes to bring T. back. I know that I'm going to do what it takes to get him back, and so is he. We've had those talks." Those are going to be off-season discussions, but I think we're excited about that opportunity. T. Higgins said, that's cool. That would be exciting to return here and whatnot. Shout out to Joe. So I don't know. Maybe Joe Burrow forfeits a little bit of cash. Maybe there's a side deal here.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Slide it over to
you've
UT.
You've gone too far. A running back can catch. We have a tight end. I have Jamar. I'll be shocked if the Bengals pay him.
You think he's disposable?
I think this franchise tag year is the end, especially because they need defensive personnel so much. If you want to win the Super Bowl, you got to get Lou some help over there. That was pathetic last night.
Yeah, maybe spend that money on offensive line.
Offensive line or defense. Yeah. We don't need another $30 million wide receiver.
Absolutely. They could use some help there. Shout out to our buddy Ben DiNucci. He's getting signed by the Saints per Ben DiNucci. Derek Carr is expected to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So our guy's got a new gig. So
nice.
I'm glad.
Congrats,
back in the NFL.
Nooch.
Browns have waived Kadarius Toney after what went down Sunday in that game against Pittsburgh. I wonder if his career's just done-ski. I mean, at some point, I get it. You're talented. You're a former first-round pick. But, like, this dude makes the most bonehead decisions I think I've ever seen on a football field. Consistently.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you can't trust him at all with anything.
He's like the Cowboys special teams just rolled into one dude.
Every game. Yeah, it's bad. This was quite an exchange. Now, I guess there's a documentary that's going to be coming out about this. But this is Favre, number 4 formerly of the Green Bay Packers.
Is this the thing with Mark Gastineau?
Yes, and this is like a
I just saw this at the break.
Right.
And it's like Gastineau is hot because of that sack.
Who's Gastineau? The guy with the mullet?
Mark Gastineau used to play with the New York Jets.
New Jets, number 99.
We got the audio, so here's the exchange.
This is wild.
Very bizarre. He goes right up to Brett. I guess there's a function going on.
They're signing autographs.
Yeah, and there's a confrontation. Gastineau goes right up to Brett, and this is what went down.
We met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
Just and Mark does not sound good.
No.
At all.
Yeah, that's CTE.
Yeah.
And this is 22 years after. So he.
So this was like made for a documentary?
Play. Yeah. So it's going to be it's a 30 for 30, the New York Sack Exchange. That'll be on ESPN starting next week, December 13th.
Yeah. He blames Favre for that.
Well, he did. He took a dive and allowed Strahan to get it. Mike so I get his frustration. Yeah. It's just, I guess, a side of the story I never even thought of. But he sounds like heartbroken over this.
Yeah, he is.
And the CTE factor.
He is, absolutely.
All these years later, he's still carrying around that much animosity towards the situation.
I mean, it sounded like there were tears.
Crying. Yeah. His entire identity was wrapped
crying.
Up
Yeah,
in
he
that.
Was. He was crying.
I think Favre was backstepping just a little bit, too.
Yeah. He was.
He's like, dude, this guy's going to take a swing.
I think Favre was worried that he was going to get hit.
Yeah.
I really do. He extends his hand like, hey, shake my hand. And then when he doesn't do it, he's like, okay, this guy is seriously going to.
This guy really wants his sack back. Yeah. I better be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Did you have any issue with what he did that day? Just kind of taking the dive from Michael Strahan?
I didn't think it was right myself. Okay. But, you know, that's.
What do you got to do? Throw the ball away there?
He just kind of went and just kind of folded up, man. Just Strahan got the edge, and then all of a sudden, Brett's like, okay, I'm going to the ground, and it was a simple touch-up, and that was
a dive moment.
Yeah,
972 says that's like him to his wife. I'm going to get my sack back.
Get him out of that purse. Tired of you. Got him in that jar.
Get on out of here. Yeah, good luck, pal.
We've got Steven Nelson, former cornerback in the NFL, who had retired. He is now coming out of retirement to join the Kansas City Chiefs, who needs some cornerback help. Jalen Watson broke his ankle back in week 7. Joshua Williams was knocked out of their game week 14 against the Chargers with a shoulder injury, so they need some depth. So let's call old Steven Nelson. He's coming out of retirement. He's going to go try and make a Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just pulled up the Strahan sack. Gastineau has no right to be this emotional and this butthurt.
He'd have gotten it regardless.
He's rolling out. It's a play action fake into Strahan, and Strahan wasn't fooled whatsoever.
Yeah.
Favre gets off the action fake, turns his head, and he's 3 feet away from Strahan, who's about to take his face off. There's nothing you can do in that situation.
He took a dive on that one. I've seen Brett run away, spin out of that one.
Spin out of that one.
I have.
He'll get stuck in the front teeth of Strahan if he tries to do that.
Saying he's Tony Romo over there, Brian. Come on.
I tell you what, I've seen him. I've seen him do some magical things.
A little pirouette out of there, like a ballerina.
See how this right tackle is doing here. Is he in on it? Look at this
play.
Boy,
that was a big swing and a miss.
Is that our guy, John Michaels?
I think it's a tight end here.
No, it's not. He was not in the league anymore.
All righty. Well, thank you, old Chuck.
Thank you.
NFL News of the Day every afternoon here in the GBAC Nation around 3 o'clock. Mike McCarthy press conference coming up at about 3:45. We're back with the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening coming up.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation. Welcome back, nation. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. I had an accident last night, all my own causing. Halftime, decided to run up to the attic, get the Christmas stuff or some more Christmas stuff.
Yeah.
I got one of those deals in the garage where you pull down the staircase.
Stairs hit you?
Yeah. Yeah, and there was something behind me, so I could not step all the way back like I would need to, and I tried to move my head out of the way and dropped it right on the bridge of my nose. I'm surprised it's not broken, right?
Oh, wow. But I see the bump.
Yeah, yeah. There's a significant bump right there. Yeah.
Very red.
And I don't know. Maybe it is damaged significantly. Anyway, we're gonna be all right, but that stung me a little bit.
So your ladder just kind of like falls, gravity takes it? Because mine, I really got to work that thing out of there.
Yes, it comes down in half, and then it flops out. The bottom half of it flops out. And before that, like that full bump, that corner right there just caught me perfectly. I felt like I got jabbed. If that right hook had been coming, I'd have been asleep out there on the garage floor. Definitely dazed me. Reset you on Overshown. It's good news, even though obviously the injury was just, you know, ugly to see. And we hope for the best for DeMarvian Overshown. But no nerve damage and no meniscus is the report. No meniscus damage. And that's one of those things when you tear your ACL, PCL, and MCL. He had the triple threat of knee ligaments, only sparing the patella tendon. It can go 18 months of recovery if you're looking at meniscus and, you know, cartilage, and obviously nerve damage is at this point career ending. I mean, I know Jalen Smith managed to lug that thing around and throw his foot somehow. He was so strong through his hip area, he could run without feeling the bottom part of his leg somehow. Got a big old bag off Jerry Jones. But none of that to worry about with Overshown. So no nerve damage, no meniscus damage for DeMarvian Overshown. How about Troy Aikman yesterday with Brad Sham? Wasn't that great? At 6
oh my
o'clock.
Gosh, my brilliant. Goodness, dude.
Mishota wrote up an article working off of that. I would wonder how we're looking at this now 24 hours later following the defeat and the way it ended, the way that Dowda was having one of the greatest games in Cowboys running back history and only got the ball 18 times. As Brian pointed out, with 5:31 to go, you had the 14-yard run, and then you pass it three consecutive times and you got a punt. And that was the beginning of the end for the Cowboys. But, you know, Troy said short of Belichick, I don't know who you're going to bring in that has a better resume. He you know, referenced the 12-win season, says, I like the way the team's playing, even without Dak. I sense that it's a team that really believes in Mike McCarthy. I think he's a good football coach, and I believe Jerry Jones thinks he's a really good football coach, too. That's kind of like summarize what Troy Aikman said. You know, I guess after the rest of the season plays out, our memory of this could fade. And if they get a win against the Eagles, if they beat Washington to end the season, I think it's still very much on the table. You know, I would say in my mind, it's somewhere around 20% right now that Mike McCarthy's back. How about you, Chief?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. It was funny because Aikman was giving the McCarthy endorsement there with Sham, and then later in the game, he's lamenting why they're not trying to push the ball down the field, and he's frustrated with the route combinations and all the comeback routes and stuff, and he has been before. So it's kind of like... Are you talking out of both sides of your mouth, or did you just maybe not realize that McCarthy's like really the one pulling the strings on what this offense is doing here? I know, like, CEO, head coach, there are some qualities to Mike. They're not quitting on him, all these different things. But his offense is a huge problem. And even during the game, you hear Aikman lamenting it.
Yeah.
So, but I do think there's a real chance that Jerry and company just stay status quo.
Is the not pushing the ball down the field more on Mike or Cooper Rush, in your opinion, Brian?
I think there was a couple of times where Mike was trying to give him some of that eight-man protection. And we'll get into it at Krusty's Corner, because they go max, and then they try and hit that deep shot to Cooks. And man, Cooper Rush didn't even look at it. He immediately checked the ball down to Dowdle. It ended up being a 10-yard play, which is a nice gain. But they were thinking much bigger on that play. So there were a couple of opportunities where Cooper Rush just did not want to push the ball down the field. And I thought the interception spooked him. I really, really do. And we've kind of seen that with Cooper Rush. He was playing well up until that point. You know, you look at the first drive of the game and things like that. But, man, he is so averse against trying. Because he's thinking, like, I can't turn the ball over. Because when he does turn the ball over, they usually lose. That's something that, you know, you look at, like, games where he's played clean, they find a way to win. When he has a turnover, then things kind of...
And I think maybe if Mike's to blame, it's for going to Cooper Rush and saying, just don't turn it over. You know, he looks to be a little bit gun-shy, not playing free and easy. Maybe, you know, that was Trey Hendrickson breathing down his neck a little bit at times last night. I don't know, Wilczek, what do you think?
This is one where, I mean, I agree with what, and we talked about this in the postgame, Brian, you've got to remove him from play calling duties if he's going to come back.
I totally agree.
But I
and a completely different offense. It's not like Schottenheimer, and you keep the same playbook, and you just call the plays now. It's
got to
be a complete
revamp. Mike can be your consultant or something.
Sure.
You know?
Right, because he's won a lot in this league.
He could get you to Sunday.
He can.
As a coach. Literally, he could get the team to Sunday.
Set the tone, have the guys, good morale. Yeah.
But I do wonder if you're Mike McCarthy, team comes to me and says that, do I just say, all right, I'm done. Let's go our separate ways.
Yeah, it'll come down to who else is offering.
We always just assume, right, it's like Mike's contract's up. Maybe Mike is done with this. Maybe he's fed up.
A big part of his job satisfaction could be designing the plays and calling the plays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We had this caller calling last night and was talking about that, you know, does Mike even want to be here? And I was like, man, we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. You know, we've kind of brought this up. Does Mike even want to be a part of this anymore?
And maybe the circus has become just too much for him. He's just frustrated with what's going on. Maybe he was wanting to play Rico Dowdle and he was told no. We brought Zeke back. And
I'd sure like to know that.
Yeah,
I'd
love to know that too, because it's malpractice. I mean, whatever was going on with the Rico Dowdle thing, anybody with two eyes that watched a training camp practice, and I get it, they put Zeke in bubble wrap, but you knew Rico was your best option. And since they've finally given him the lead back assignment, he's fourth in the league in attempts, first in yards, sixth in yards per carry, first in yards after contact, first in 10-plus yard runs with nine of them. So you're getting chunk runs from Rico. Clearly, he's made a big impact on your ability to run the football.
Five of his 18 runs last night were 10-plus yards.
So, and the thing is, the offense was bad with Dak. So clearly, it's not good enough with Mike. The thing is here, they stress continuity. That's my whole thing, where if they bring him back, maybe it's, well, let's look at the defense. They moved on from Dan Quinn. It took half a season for the defense to get going. And then it's, well, if you go ahead and you remove Mike from play calling, now we have a new offensive coordinator. Do we have that same problem? I don't know.
We have Krusty's Corner here coming up in about 10 minutes. I was wondering if we could wedge in just a little bit of draft talk. Sure. I know at times it can be like chicken soup for your Cowboys soul here. Talk about some of these prospects. I don't know. I guess they'll pick 11th or 12th if I had to guess right now.
Maybe 12 right now.
Michigan junior defensive tackle Mason Graham declares for the draft, hired Drew Rosenhaus. And, you know, they're talking about him being a top five pick. I saw on Mel Kiper's big board, he's the fifth prospect and
absolutely,
all that.
Yeah.
My question is, and I maybe I'm box scoring this. Look out for that hotline. Sandler might call in. Mm-hmm. Just 9 sacks over 3 years at Michigan. You know, why are you guys so convinced a guy that hasn't done more is going to be a star?
First year in this new scheme. You know, if you look at what he's played in the previous scheme, this scheme, you know, Wink Martindale took over as the defensive coordinator at Michigan. Harbaugh and then played a different type of scheme. We've seen it with Mozzie. We've seen it with Chris Jenkins, who played last night for Cincinnati. You know, kind of a read and react scheme. This one is more up the field, more attacking. You know, Martindale in the league when he was with the Ravens, the Giants, he was a very blitz-heavy guy. It was about attacking. It was about getting up the field. You know, that's the thing with Mason Graham. I think that you look at a couple of these Michigan defensive tackles, him, Kenneth Grant. These are two big guys, 6'3", 320, 6'3", 339, and they both play. They're both very, very active in the way they play, completely different than what they've done in the past.
Okay, so I guess he's great in the run game.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah.
He's super wide. I mean,
6'3", 318.
Big dude.
Yeah.
He's tough to move off the football. I guess the thing for me is I wondered when watching him, like, am I watching a player that still has room to improve? Mm-hmm. Or is he at the best that he's going to be right now? There's a lot to like. High motor guy. You can see some pass rush ability for his size. The way he moves, very, very impressive. The technique's where you want it to be. But I wondered in my notes, is he maxed out? Am I drafting this? This is what he's going to be.
Yeah.
Or am I getting a guy in the top 10 that I think can still take another step?
Yeah, and if that's the case, hey, you know, I'm all for it. I think somebody in the trenches is, you know, one way or another is what the Cowboys should be looking at. Best landing spots and scheme fits for top running back prospects in the 2025 NFL draft. I'm working off a list from a Bleacher Report, and I see something I need to get your guys' thoughts on with Ashton Jeanty in this story.
Okay.
He is currently sitting on 344 carries. We're familiar with the law of 370. Only Eric Dickerson had 370 carries in an individual season, and it did not mark the beginning of the downturn for him. If he has 26 carries for the remainder of the playoffs, he's going to go over 370. He might go over 400 touches. He would. If they win a game, he's going over 400 touches, Wolchuk.
Yeah, and if they make a run, then without it, I mean, that's why to me, like, you see that rookie contract, that's where you're going to maximize the value on all these rookie runners. It's within the first 4 or 5 years of their career. You're not drafting these guys to get a second contract. So I think that's a big pushback. When you're taking somebody in the first round, you're hoping that's going to be a player that's in your organization for maybe 10 years. You're not going to have that with Jeanty. You're looking like a dude, probably the similar career to a dude who's, you know, 5 years in the league. I don't know, 6 years in the league. But you could be drafting a guy that immediately enters the NFL and is in the top five running back conversation.
What do you think of Kenneth Walker at Seattle?
I mean, outside of the injuries, he's been really, really good.
Yeah, see, this player's like Kenneth Walker to me. That type of the running style, the physicality.
Yeah, physicality,
he plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way he plays.
Downhill thumper.
Yeah,
I mean, the balance, and his ability and you can to use roll this guy, off defenders.
There's absolutely a concern about the number of carries. But there's also the things that you could do with him as a weapon throwing the football. You know, last night we were talking about that Cincinnati guy. I did not expect to see him catch the ball as well as he did last night.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That was a weapon for
them. Pass protection. I mean, yeah. he's a three-down back. Like, yeah. This dude's pass blocking is elite.
So if you want that, I might prefer SMU's Breshard Smith, who's a converted wide receiver from Miami, following that Tyrone Tracy path from college wide receiver, college running back, and then into the NFL. And maybe that'd be a good compliment for Rico Dowdle.
I know the kid at North Carolina, Amarion Hampton, I compare him to DeMarco Murray.
Okay.
If you Cowboy fans or people out there, listen, we all remember what DeMarco Murray was as a player. This kid from North Carolina reminds me of DeMarco Murray the way he runs the ball.
And he's probably a second rounder.
Yeah. And then you also
it's
got
like forward moonwalking.
Yeah. And then he's a
turf monster gets.
Yeah,
you.
He's a pretty special player because he's not going to make you miss, but he's going to run through tackles. And he's not going to run away, but he's very much the type of guy that wears you down. And I always felt like DeMarco Murray had that guy. Yeah. Now, Caleb Johnson from Iowa is a little bit of a different cat, too, you know, because I think he's got the vision and the decisiveness, the way that he attacks the hole, and he hits it with authority and a power. So those are three running backs, and that's just the top of the iceberg, or the tip of the iceberg. I think there's some a lot more that we're going to have to look at here.
A lot of options.
There could be a lot of options.
Yeah, two Ohio State's backfield.
Perfect year for it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's definitely a year to grab a back.
Mike McCarthy press conference in a little Krusty's Corner on the other side. Brian, what do you have on deck?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you about some of the plays I saw in the Cincinnati game. We'll do that next.
Here we go. Thank you, Lucius. Everybody's been waiting for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. The Mike McCarthy press conference could start at any minute. Okay, so, well, we'll stand by for Mike. In the meantime, here he is, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you to Reliant for being a part of this one today. Hey, real quick before I get started. True or false, we've had a mascot kill another mascot before a football game.
Is that kill?
True?
Death?
True or false?
That's a fart, Brian.
I'll say true.
Yeah, I'll say true because we got like chickens and stuff that are mascots. I could see one of those getting swallowed up.
Well, I'm just imagining somebody in a suit. Like we got two people in suits.
No, is these human live beings?
Live
mascots.
Okay, live mascots.
No, live mascots.
I'll say true.
Live mascots.
I'm going to bet a hooven animal got loose and like trampled a dog.
Actually, you're very, very close.
Nice.
This happens to be, I'm going back here.
Mascot deaths are Dawson's wheelhouse. Yeah. So to be fair, we knew he was kind of going.
SMU, Peruna in 1934 was, they were at a game, and they were playing Fordham University. And the Fordham mascot is a ram.
Oh.
Peruna, the horse, the little pony, kicked the ram.
Wow.
To death.
Oh, man.
So mascot crime on mascot
crime. A single kick to a ram?
This
is like a homicide?
Yeah, this is, 1930.
This felt intentional.
Could you imagine this, though? You're kind of sitting around and
you see,
you know,
this
you
happen?
you got your coat and tie on with your hat, and you're kind of at the game, and all of a sudden you see Peruna, the SMU mascot, the little pony.
A rabid pony.
Kicks the Fordham ram.
Good Lord.
The ram goes down.
That's one of the biggest upsets in animal fight history, is it not? Wouldn't you take the ram over the pony 10 times out of 10?
Like the pony is like a little Shetland pony, like a little tiny pony.
So SMU goes to FU, and the pony just destroys the ram.
Yeah, they go to F, yeah.
That's a sign from the gods. Some bet on the ponies right then and there.
Yeah, what was the score to that game?
Yeah.
But like Fordham, they had like Vince Lombardi played at Fordham. That was like, that Fordham was like, back in the day, was like a really good program.
FU has a history.
A big history there. But I just thought I'd throw that out when you look at
FU. Maybe that's why they attack so head on. They got weaknesses in the neck or something.
Yeah. I just found it interesting that, like you said, a pony took a ram down.
You know, what's funny is shortly thereafter, Peruna tragically died in a car accident on Mockingbird Lane.
That's karma. Okay,
I see karma right there. I'm seeing this here as well. He escaped his SMU stable one night in October of 1934. This must have been shortly after the.
What were we doing in 1934? We're not caring anything about our mascot.
And cars were not going fast enough to hurt you.
Yeah, but the cars weighed loosest, 5 tons? Could that have been got hit by a big old Cadillac with fins?
Cars were thick back in the day.
Took about 15 seconds to stop.
Exactly. It's like
from going 25 miles. It's like a boat.
Oh man. All right. Well, hey, I just had to throw that out there. But hey, good luck, ponies at Penn State. By the way,
they'll kick the lion.
I think if I could go to a game, I think I'd like to go watch SMU play.
Oh, now Happy
Valley.
Pandering to the ponies right
I'd
now.
I'd like to go to Happy Valley.
I like SMU. Lucius likes them the most, but I like
Lucius does like SMU.
He does.
It's no competition.
Yeah.
It's all of our squads.
Yeah.
469 says those little Shetland ponies are like donkeys. They'll mean and they'll stomp dogs and coyotes and apparently even rams.
Donkey.
Oh, dude.
How about that?
I guess donkeys are badass.
Donkeys are badass. And it's the best Shrek character, that's for sure. Little kids know that.
Yeah.
But the horses, dude, they're probably, because they're so small, they were getting picked on. The only ones that could sustain were the ones that had a little mean streak to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Animal kingdom, dude.
I'll tell you what, man. I see why they don't want these mascots showing up around other mascots, though.
Well, that's why they kept Bevo at home.
Yeah.
He almost killed Ugga the last time.
I think they were worried about Bevo space.
They definitely were.
On the sideline.
And when you looked at it, I mean, I was listening to Craig Way. He was there isn't much space on the sideline.
He's got a tank ass.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of room to kind of keep Bevo in that area.
Bevo drops that ass there.
Yeah.
He's an anchor.
For sure. All right. Hey, in the game last night, did you guys realize that, remember the first punt return that Turpin had?
It was nice.
In the game last night?
He saw a crease.
That thing could have gone for a score.
Oh, you're kidding. Is this another one of those vision problems? It could have gone
first. You got it out for Bones Fossil? Is that what you're doing here?
No, this is a Turpin problem.
It was McCarthy. Now it's a Bones issue.
Well,
maybe it's both.
I don't know if this is an Izzy or an AO problem.
Missed block.
Okay, now it's the players.
Yeah.
And I like where you're going.
Okay. But Turpin's first punt return, and I'm not sure exactly how this was drawn up, but it did have a chance to score. If AO, Izzy, and Hall had sorted out the blocking, and I'm saying this because off the line, Nick Vigil ends up blocking the linebacker there, one of the linebackers for the Bengals. But they triple-team Anderson, the safety, on the outside, which leaves Hudson, the tight end, unblocked. And AO sees Hudson, but he doesn't react to him at all. He ends up in the alley. Hudson ends up in the alley. They get the alley set up. But AO, if he gets that block, now it's Turpin on the punter.
Jimmy would cut him today.
And it would be it's one-on-one with the punter.
He would.
If they get that block, and this is where I don't understand it, because I don't know if this is AO's fault, because after the tackle, Izzy's tapping his chest like he made the mistake of not blocking Hudson.
Oh. Okay.
And then working to the outside. So maybe it was one of these things where AO had a chance to get him, didn't do it, didn't make a football play, but Izzy going out and triple teaming the gunner left Hudson, the one guy they didn't block,
made the tackle. Yeah.
So you wonder about special team stuff and you're like,
Are you buttoned up?
All right, how about this one? You remember 12 men on the field?
Yes.
Hey, your zebra report, I mean, just freaking bullseye. In the first quarter, yeah. I think all of your zebra report opportunities of where we could see some laundry were seen.
We got to gamble on this, don't we?
The formations, yeah. The 12. I'm looking over Brian like, guys, how can we not get it?
Delay a game.
It was offsetting penalties because the Bengals had one.
This was a key play. You know why? Because the Bengals had, Joe Burrow had intentional grounding.
That's right.
Okay. That is going to be 3rd and 27 if that's not an offsetting penalty. And this is how it all came down. This is Joe Burrow channeling his inner our guy with the Jets, our Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
So Burrow notices that Zimmer's trying to get Lawson on the field. And Mozzie Smith was late getting off the field after helping make a tackle.
His get-off's been a problem since day one.
Yeah. Burrow gets the group to the line. Front seven is scrambling. Osa beats Kappa, the guard, which we talked about, which forces Burrow to have to ground the ball. Offsetting fouls results in a lost chance here for the Cowboys, because it would have made Cincinnati 3rd and 27. Instead, they hit Chase the next play for 14 yards, and then another play after that, a run to get the first down. So the Bengals are going to be, with that grounding penalty, they're going to back them way up.
3rd and 1 million.
3rd and 27. Instead, the offsetting penalty. So Burrow, them trying to get Lawson on, get Smith off, cost them. Burrow saw what they were doing, got his guys to the line. Unfortunately, that was a bad situation. All right, the fourth down stop that the Cowboys made. This is really a great job by the rush holding lanes versus Burrow. And he tries to climb forward in the pocket, but he's got really nowhere to go. Osa and Golston are pushing the middle. Parsons off the edge forces the dump off to Brown, who is just short of the sticks. This is when Overshown drove on the ball and knocked the ball loose.
Great play, man.
So
amazing play.
The Cowboys had some trouble in this game when Burrow was climbing,
yeah,
of not staying in lanes. This one was when they got kind of everything you talk about being buttoned up. But that was a really, really nice stop, because once Burrow stepped up, he had nowhere to throw the football. He tries to throw the ball, like I say, underneath the Brown. Great job by Overshown driving on the play and kind of knocking it loose there.
Man, between Overshown, Diggs, and Donovan Wilson, they were just gunning for every football. I thought they were doing a hell of a job at that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that 100%. All right, the Leofau Wilson sack later in the game. The defense might have caught a break here. Dawson brought it up and he saw it.
The face mask?
The face mask.
Yeah, they were making a big deal out of it on TV.
They take Burrow's helmet. He's looking out the ear hole.
It's obvious.
And Scott Novak is in the back. He's trailing the play. Can't really see it. But really good job by Leofau and Wilson. And so what the Bengals were doing was they were putting their tight ends up on the line, behind the line, to kind of pick up, you know, the double A-gap looks that the Cowboys were giving. And so Leofau does a great job of beating Sample, the tight end, who's played in that kind of that what they call a sniffer position. They're right there along the line of scrimmage.
Why do they call it that?
Because he's kind of sniffing things out. That's what he's doing. He's kind of sniffing.
Sniffing.
I thought it was because he was right behind.
That's kind of maybe something you could say too. But he's kind of sniffing.
He's like his face mask is touching the rear end of the.
He's sniffing things out. That's what I kind of say. Hanging around that rim. But this is this is when Leofau does a great job of beating Sample the tight end, and then Wilson just destroys Hudson the tight end on the outside. Burrow's going to slide forward. Leofau grabs the front face mask and like turns his helmet, and then the ball is on the ground. You know, but Hudson the tight end who got worked falls on it before Wilson could get there. But that was the play that got them the opportunity, and then, you know, to maybe go ahead in this game, maybe go win this football game. Okay.
Let's take a break here, if you don't mind, and then we'll jump in if Mike McCarthy starts yapping up there at the Star. Yeah. And after him, we'll get you more Krusty's Corner.
I'll do that.
We'll do Krusty's Corner 2.0 at 5:30 as well, right there in the middle of the expressway, and we're back right here. It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.